Welcome everyone to day 40 of the Winter Feast for the Soul. Let's begin by taking a nice deep breath in. Long, slow breath out. Take a moment to settle into your seat, finding that sense of groundedness. Feet on the floor, seat on the seat. Weight of the body resting. And as we begin this last official day, remember there's a bonus day coming up, but the last official day, I'd like to invite you to just take a moment to think back to your intention that you set before we began. What you are hoping to get out of your practice, the experience, the group. And regardless of how that sort of played out for you, I'd like to invite you to take a moment to appreciate all that happened in your practice. And especially appreciate your efforts. Maybe not how you did, but the effort that you're making. And in review, I'd like to just run through the Eightfold Path as we have talked about it in the last 40 days. Remembering that we started with the right view, seeing things the way they are. Right? They're impermanent. Life has both challenges and joys. There's almost always this sense of little bit of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen next. And when we can recognize that and accept that that is the way things are, it's not our personal failure, that we didn't pin everything down, get everything solid, get rid of all the difficulties, that this is the way that life is. For all of us, that we're not alone in our human condition. And remembering the right intentions, remembering the fact that our thoughts become our words, become our actions, become our character. So really paying attention to our own thoughts and how those things sort of ripple out into the world. And then moving towards right action, which is how things ripple out in the world. Turning away from those things that cause harm to ourselves and others. Turning towards those things that alleviate harm or suffering for ourselves and others. Right livelihood, how are we in the world? Are we just for ourselves, or can we be for ourselves and others? And right speech, of course. Which is particularly why that little 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes before our formal meditation happens, whether it's during the regular year or during the 40 days, that's actually an opportunity to practice right speech. To see how the ways in which we're talking and listening to each other, what the effect that has on us. Right? Are we including everyone in our conversations? Are we promoting a sense of wholesomeness in our conversation? Or are we just following our habitual patterns? And so that's an opportunity for practice. And the giggling and laughter is part of it. And then moving on to right effort, again, noticing what's wholesome and unwholesome in our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. Right mindfulness, cultivating a sense of presence and nowness. And then right concentration, being able to really focus on what's important to us. What really brings a sense of alleviating harm and suffering in the world. So that's the path that we've been on. And as always, in the last day, I usually do this quote from Jack Kornfield, Jack Kornfield, from his book, After the Ecstasy, the Laundry. It's a long quote, hang in there. For almost everyone who practices, cycles of awakening and openness are followed by periods of fear and contraction. Times of profound peace and newfound love are often overtaken by periods of loss, by closing up, fear, or the discovery of betrayal, only to be followed again by equanimity or joy. In mysterious ways, the heart reveals itself to be like a flower that opens and closes. This is our nature. The only surprising thing is how unexpected this truth can be. It is as if deep down we all hope that some experience, some great realization, enough years of dedicated practice might finally lift us beyond the touch of life, beyond the mundane struggles of the world. We cling to some hope that in spiritual life we can rise above the wounds of our human pain, never to have to suffer them again. We expect some experience to last, but permanence is not true freedom, not the sure heart's release. Every wise voyager learns that we cannot hold on to the last port of call, no matter how beautiful. To do so would be like holding our breath, creating a prison from our past. As one Zen master puts it, enlightenment is only the beginning, is only a step in the journey. You can't cling to that as a new identity or you're immediately in trouble. You have to get back down into the messy business of life, to engage with life for years afterwards. Only then can you integrate what you have learned. Only then can you learn perfect trust. Let's practice. So, taking your seat, finding that sense of groundedness, feet on the floor, seat on the seat, weight of the body resting. From that groundedness, in your own practice, feeling the length of your back, upright but not rigid, not too loose, not too tight, allowing the shoulders to be relaxed, a sense of opening and softening in front, connecting to your tender heart, the tender heart that's been on the journey, a sense of care for yourself and others. And resting your hands comfortably, connecting to ease, and allowing the mind to rest in the stillness of the body and the warmth and friendship of our practice together.